welcome to Ashurst Podcast. I'm Renee Green and I'm an expertise manager with Ashurst. Today I have with me two experts in all things whistleblowing. I'd like to introduce you to Alyssa Phillips. Alyssa is a partner in our competition and anti-bribery and corruption team, as well as Vince Rogers, who's a partner with our employment team. So today we're here to discuss some fairly significant changes which are being proposed to Australia's whistleblower protection regimes. These proposed changes were released in September 2017 in a parliamentary committee report. And the changes, if they're adopted, would have the effect of broadening who would be protected, the scope of the conduct that could be reported on, who the reports could be made to, and the protections that whistleblowers would receive. So, Vince, why is reform of whistleblowing necessary?
Thanks, Renee. Certainly in the private sector in Australia, a difficulty organisations face is that there is a myriad of different whistleblower protection regimes in place. That will vary depending upon what industry an organisation is in. So, for example, there's protections available under the Corporations Act. If you're in banking and finance, there's relevant legislation that also offers whistleblower protections. And likewise, there'd be protections under superannuation legislation and other legislation. So a challenge an organisation may face, and certainly I've seen this in conducting an investigation, is that you might have a couple of different whistleblower regimes in operation when dealing with the one whistleblower concern or complaint, which is very problematic. So one benefit of adopting one piece of legislation will result in greater consistency, greater clarity as to who will be covered, and also greater clarity as to what protections will be available for people that may be making whistleblower disclosures.
And we mentioned that the proposed reforms would significantly broaden the categories of people who could be protected as whistleblowers, particularly in the private sector. Alyssa, what does the report recommend in relation to that?
Thanks, Renee. So what we see at the moment is a pretty major disconnect between the public sector whistleblowing protections, which extend importantly not just to current employees but also former employees of organisations, and the protections that are currently available, particularly under the Corporations Act, which are currently limited only to current employees and officers of organisations and also current contractors to an organisation. What the Parliamentary Committee has recommended is that protections for private sector whistleblowing should extend to both current and former employees, current and former contractors, and also current and former volunteers, so people who are not, strictly speaking, employees. This has some practical implications for companies when designing their whistleblowing protection regimes, because it's a quite different matter when you're dealing with people who are no longer within the bounds of your organisation.
So that's obviously a significant broadening of the people that will be protected, but also the scope of the type of conduct that can be reported on is also changing, Vince, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And again, it will vary depending upon, you know, what is the existing legislation and what is covered. So, for example, currently, it's only under the Corporations Act provisions, it's only breaches of the Corporations Act which would sort of allow someone to pursue or get a protection under that legislation. What is proposed is going to be much, much broader. So it will cover any disclosure where it would cover any contravention of any law of the Commonwealth and also any law of a state or territory. So a much broader scope of activities will be covered by what can be included in the disclosure.
Indeed, and then overlaid across that to sort of further complicate matters is that the committee has also proposed to extend the protections not just to people who have actually made a disclosure about one of the things that Vince has just mentioned, but also to those who propose to make a disclosure or could in principle make a disclosure, or even those who are suspected of making a disclosure but in fact have not. And the intention behind that is to pick up the risk that people who might be suspected of whistleblowing sort of become unwitting non-whistleblowers, if you like, and get targeted or suffer reprisal within an organisation when in fact they've not actually made a disclosure.
Under some existing legislation, there is a requirement at the moment that disclosures be made in good faith, and the report proposes a change to this.
So this is one of the things that is recommended to be changed, so that as long as the person has a reasonable basis for elevating the particular concern that will be covered by the disclosure, then that is all that is necessary.
The committee has very clearly, in making the recommendation that there is no need for a whistleblower to act in good faith in order to be protected, taken the position that there is value in encouraging whistleblowing about potential misconduct in and of itself, and that the motives or drivers behind someone making those complaints should not be the focus.
So importantly, what does the report say about who a whistleblower can make their disclosure to?
What the committee thinks is a sensible approach is to say a whistleblower can receive the benefit of protections if he or she has made a complaint or a disclosure to any person within his or her management chain within the organisation, or to an officer of their company, or to any person specified in a policy published by the company. So the second two are not controversial. I think where we see a big change here is in the concept that you could report to anybody in your management chain, including potentially quite low-level managers, and still be protected.
So certainly I think that is potentially going to be problematic, and it'll be interesting to see whether this is carried across in the bill. Currently, it would usually be only certain people who'd be well-skilled and well-trained to respond to any whistleblower concern that they may receive, fully understanding what consequences could flow if, for example, they inadvertently disclosed who the whistleblowers were. To suddenly say that it's any person in management in an organisation just casts the net very, very widely, and it would be a very significant challenge for organisations to make sure that people are adequately trained and be alert to when receiving any whistleblower concern in the future. One would suspect that hopefully this would be a narrower group going forward.
Looking to the external disclosures, the report contemplates that protected disclosures could also be made to regulatory agencies and to law enforcement bodies, and I don't think there's too much of a change there. Importantly, though, the report also contemplates that in certain circumstances, a private sector individual could also be protected if they made disclosures to the media and possibly to other external agencies. And I think that's where we'll have to look very carefully at any legislation that's ultimately introduced to understand how the tiers of reporting will actually work and what protections will be in place for organisations so they don't find internal matters being splashed across the media, if you like, before they've had a chance, for example, to finish an internal investigation into the allegations.
So, Vince, what does the report say on the remedies available if a whistleblower was subject to victimisation or reprisal?
So, certainly what's contemplated is providing far greater clarity as to what remedies may be available. And in particular, there'll be sanctions involving civil penalties in terms of any contravention of the laws. There would be protections for the whistleblowers from harassment, which would also include psychological harm and damages to property or reputation. But importantly, what they're also contemplating, that there would be a mechanism where a whistleblower who can demonstrate that they have been victimised or the subject of reprisal action can then seek compensation. And the committee's recommendation is that that compensation be uncapped.
So, Alyssa, one of the key recommendations is the introduction of a bounty system.
I think there's no doubt this is the most controversial aspect of the committee's report. What they have recommended is that the Whistleblowing Protection Act will include what they call a reward system. And that effectively will involve a whistleblower being entitled to receive a proportion of any penalty that's ultimately imposed against the organisation that the complaint has been raised about as a result of any investigation that's arisen from that whistleblowing complaint. This is often called a bounty system. A number of jurisdictions overseas do have bounty systems to some degree, and the US is definitely at the forefront of this, and the payments that whistleblowers have received after raising concerns in the States can be, you know, many millions of dollars. And what they've said is, we're not looking at a US-style bounty system. This will be unique to Australia and will, for example, involve caps on any rewards that whistleblowers can receive, and also a requirement that the court or tribunal that is imposing the penalty will also determine what proportion of the penalty the whistleblower is entitled to receive, taking account of things like the whistleblower's conduct, the timeliness of any disclosure that they made, and whether they went through and had available to them internal whistleblowing processes as well. I think it would be very interesting to see whether this particular aspect of the recommendations makes it through the parliamentary process.
So, Vince, what's next?
The parliamentary committee process was really initiated because of commitments made by the Commonwealth government in order to ensure that certain legislation was enacted in November 2016, being the registered organisations legislation. Part of those commitments meant that they had this parliamentary review occur, and that's happened. Another aspect of that commitment was to ensure that there's a bill which is voted upon before 30 June 2018. So one suspects that we'll see a bill, whether it's in the latter part of 2017 or early 2018, which will really then go to the various recommendations made by that committee. And that's what we'll have to look out for.
Thanks, Alyssa and Vince. If any of our listeners have any questions on the topic or would like any further information, please contact our experts, Alyssa Phillips and Vince Rogers. We'll continue to keep you updated on the government's response to the report. Thank you for joining us today.